This is The Guardian.
I'm Jane Lee, coming to you from Wurundjeri land, and this is the full story. Elon Musk, the owner of social media network X, appears to be in a war of words with everyone, including Prime Minister Anthony Albanese.
We'll do what's necessary to take on this arrogant billionaire who thinks he's above the law, but also above common decency.
Opposition leader Peter Dutton.
They see themselves above the law, and the Australian law here should apply equally in the real world as it does online.
And independent Senator Jackie Lambie.
Elon Musk has no social conscience or conscience whatsoever, and quite frankly, the bloke should be jailed.
That's because X is defying orders from Australia's internet safety regulator to remove a video of the Wakely stabbing from its website. And all of this is part of a bigger, long-running debate over what should be shared online and who gets to decide. So why won't Musk back down? And is it possible to stop the spread of violent images and misinformation online? Today, the trouble with taking down tweets. It's Thursday, the 25th of April.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Josh, the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman Grant, has asked major social media networks to take down certain posts. They relate to the alleged stabbing of Bishop Marmarie Emanuel in Sydney last week. Now, she issued these requests to Meta, which owns Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, and also to X, which is formerly known as Twitter. What's actually in these posts?
What eSafety is seeking to have taken down is effectively when the attack happened, it was live streamed on YouTube and people then ripped it from YouTube and then posted that online. It's basically the graphic image of it where you can see the alleged attacker stabbing the bishop. And that's basically all they've sought to be removed.
Josh Taylor is a reporter for Guardian Australia.
eSafety says that the posts containing the videos are what is determined to be Class 1 material under Australian classification law, which depicts gratuitous or offensive violence with a high degree of impact or detail. It's important to note that this video is just one piece in the flow of information that's been happening around these attacks over the past couple of weeks. It's not the misinformation that is being spread about either the church stabbing or the Bondi attack, but that is something that's obviously in focus as well.
So we know that Meta did what it was asked to do. It took down the material, but X has taken a slightly different approach. Can you talk me through its response?
What X did effectively was it blocked access to the post in question and then on Saturday posted a tweet saying, we've taken this action, but we're planning on challenging it because we don't think it's within the law. And then Elon posted about it that the Australian Censorship Commissar is demanding global content bans. They were looking like they were planning on fighting it in court. And then when we get to Monday and it blows up as a political issue, we've got the Prime Minister commenting on it and everything like that, the eSafety Commissioner launched an urgent court hearing in the federal court saying that X had only effectively geo-blocked access to the tweets. Now, what geo-blocking is effectively it sees where your computer is located. So that'd be in Australia if you're connecting on a laptop, on your phone, everything like that. It can see that you're coming from Australia. And it means that people within Australia can't actually access that content. It comes up with a sorry, don't know what happened here kind of message instead of the actual tweet itself. eSafety has argued, however, that this is not in compliance with the order because it hasn't removed access to it. And basically it's saying that people who are using what's called a virtual private network can use a VPN and it makes their phone or laptop or whatever appear outside of Australia. And that means that they can then access that tweet. And that means that it's not effectively removed. So this wasn't in compliance with the Online Safety Act. And as a result, the federal court issued a temporary injunction until 5 p.m. on Wednesday that ordered X to hide the tweets in question pending further hearings.
Right. So hide them globally, not just in
Australia. Hide them globally. So the eSafety Commissioner was successful in getting a temporary injunction on Monday, to extending it out to 5 p.m. on Wednesday. On Wednesday, the matter returned to court again, and eSafety's counsel argued that X hadn't been complying with the order, as in it was still possible to view these tweets. And it was decided in that hearing that the existing injunction will be extended until the 10th of May when there'll be another hearing on it.
Significant developments in this case at this Wednesday court hearing, right? So what else did we learn about this case today?
It was a quick 15-minute hearing, but we got a lot of information about where this is going. Marcus Hoyne, who is the lawyer for X, said this case was well above his pay grade. They're approaching Brett Walker, SC, to run the case. We also heard, most importantly, I think, that Bishop Mar Murray Emmanuel, who was the subject of the alleged attack, he has written an affidavit in support of X, effectively arguing that the video should be still available. So that's pretty big news. We haven't seen the contents of that affidavit at the time of recording, but that does put a different spin on things, I think.
We know there's a lot of violent material that exists online. So why do you think the eSafety Commissioners issued a notice for this particular video? Why this one and why now?
I think in particular this one, I think because it was just such in the public consciousness and we were seeing how much this video was being spread online, people sharing it and things like that. And it was quite confronting for a lot of us. Obviously, it happened a couple of days after the Bondi stabbing attack, which was not subject to a similar notice. I think it was just, there was a lot of calls for, I guess, the government to be doing something to crack down on the sort of content that we were seeing being shared about from these attacks.
Okay. Well, how common are these kinds of requests from the eSafety Commissioner? And how do these big social platforms tend to respond to them?
Well, that's one of the interesting things. I think that this power tends to go under the radar a fair bit, basically because most of the time it's used to take down child sexual abuse material. So we know that from the eSafety Commissioner's annual report from last year, it went through an informal process where it just notified these platforms that, oh, hey, there's this child abuse content or this other sort of class one sort of violent material content that can include like terrorist acts and things like that up on your website. And can you please take it down? They submitted about almost 15,000 of those URLs in the last financial year. And 99% of those were child sexual abuse material. It did go to 3 notices to overseas services about highly violent or explicit class one material in that time. We don't know whether those were taken down. Sometimes you have the issue where some of these services are so sort of just fringe and out of the way, like 4chan and things like that, where they just won't respond to these sorts of things. But most of the time you find that particularly the larger platforms like Meta, like X, tend to be more compliant on these sorts of things.
Okay. And so we know that the eSafety Commissioner has the power to issue notices to take down content like this, but what other powers does she have to use for material like this?
She has the ability to demand that links be scrubbed from search engines. The nuclear option would be to have X removed from the app stores. As far as I'm aware, she's never used those powers, and that would obviously be the nuclear option because it would cause a massive fight between X and the Australian government, much more than it already is.
In regards to this latest incident, X's own policy says that users can't post excessively gory content online or share violent or adult content in a live video. So why is the head of X, Elon Musk, resisting this request now?
I think it's a couple of factors. So obviously, since Elon Musk took over X, he's focused on this idea of free speech and making it the town square and everything like that. From what we can gather from what he's been posting about it, he believes this is a major news event. People should be able to comment on it and see what happened. And the company has said that they won't accept people posting the video and sort of glorifying the violence or encouraging others to undertake violence. That's sort of against their policies. But just posting the video on its own is not enough, in their view, to warrant it to be taken down. And the other thing is that he believes that Australia is fine to make its own laws. You can block access to the content in Australia, but he doesn't think that one country should be able to say what every other country in the world can see.
And what do you make of that?
I think it's interesting in practice, but not the reality. If you look at how many, if you look at how many US laws apply to the internet globally, copyright, things like that, is just by virtue of the fact that a lot of these companies are hosted in the US. It's a nice idea in theory, but in practice, it's not the reality of how the internet works.
And there's been a lot of political backlash to Musk's approach here. What's been said so far?
Anthony Albanese has said that Elon Musk is an arrogant billionaire who thinks he's above the law in Australia.
A social media needs to have social responsibility with it. Mr. Musk is not showing any.
You've seen a lot of pushback from people like Jackie Lambie.
The power that that man has because of that platform that he's on, it's got to stop. It has absolutely got to stop. But leaving that out for our kids to see, for people that were family and friends out there and just letting that run on there, once again, that bloke has no conscience. He's an absolute frigging disgrace. And there's nothing else to say about Elon Musk.
David Pocock's even commented on it.
Yeah, these multinational companies have proven time and time again that they're willing to bully governments and countries like Australia and not uphold their part of the bargain of being able to run their businesses here in Australia. So
the Greens are potentially trying to haul the tech bosses before Parliament. Peter Dutton is even sort of saying that there is bipartisan support here for eSafety to get more powers and is fully supportive of eSafety in its pursuit of X.
If the laws are inadequate and they need to be strengthened or added to, then we would support any effort from the government.
Which I was a little bit surprised about. I thought that they might take a different angle, but it's important to remember that the Coalition were the ones who founded the eSafety Commissioner and appointed Julian Mungrant. So it's not super surprising that they're, particularly on a topic like this, that they're falling in line behind her.
So that's a lot of political pressure on X and on Elon Musk. Is that likely to have any bearing on the way this case plays out in the courts, do you think?
I would say no. I mean, I think that Elon Musk is going to keep going back and forth, but the court heard on Wednesday that, at least from X's point of view, although there is a lot of media and political interest in this case, they're effectively just focusing on the legal questions involved. And that goes to what powers does the Safety Commissioner have to effectively order the removal of content, not just within Australia, but across the globe.
We'll be right back.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
Of course, online violent imagery can spread like wildfire. You know, videos can be copied, reposted, commented on faster than, you know, takedown notices can be issued. So how do major social media platforms practically go about removing that kind of content?
Yeah, so I think it's worth contrasting what X has done with what Meta has done. So Meta now basically hashed the video. So it made like a digital fingerprint of the video. And anytime someone uploads or tries to upload a version of the video, it blocks it. And that it basically stops the spread of that. For some of the more violent imagery, it hasn't taken down. They put a warning graphic over the top of it to stop people from being able to click through. I know with some of the posts around Bondi that were fact-checked, they reduced the spread of it and made them not come up in recommendations and things like that after those fact-checks came back as false. So you can see that that's how they're sort of trying to limit the spread of some of this content. Now, contrasting with X, where they've basically not done anything, I think one of the big changes that X has made that we saw really come to fruition during both of these attacks is that now people can pay for verified accounts, what they call the blue ticks. And that means that they get promoted more prominently in the replies and you see their content more on the site. And that means that bad actors can just buy blue ticks and then share really awful things and it gets spread so far on the platform. So it's not great. X does have some policies in terms of just sort of limiting the reach of content. But as we saw the last couple of weeks, that hasn't been happening for some of this stuff.
Yeah. So that's interesting. It shows that there are ways and tools that can be used to try to prevent the spread at the outset, but it's largely up to the companies how far they want to go in that direction.
Yeah, and I mean, under the old regime, when it was still called Twitter, that was definitely something that the company had in place. But as Julian Mungrant has been saying for the last couple of years, those teams, the trust and safety teams, were gutted.
I actually saw day in and day out when I was at Twitter that targeted abuse, particularly those targeting women, those who identify as LGBTQI, those with a disability, those of different ethnicities and religions, were actually silenced through targeted abuse. And of course, it's rooted in misogyny and racism, and it's surfaced by social media. You allow harmful content like that to fester, you're going to have a very toxic place, and you're not going to be promoting free speech. You're going to be suppressing it over time.
Elon Musk even sort of mocks the term trust and safety now. He talks about safety. He says, if you call it trust, you can't trust them. So it's a deliberate move by the company to have more what they see as free speech on the platform and take off the handbrakes, I think, a little bit.
And what has that led to in terms of the kinds of discussions that are had on Twitter and in terms of the speech that is actually promoted by that website?
I think a lot of people would say that the discussion on X has become a lot more toxic in the past year and a half. I mean, it was never a great place in the first place, but I think you've seen a lot of people, you know, you've got Jackie Lambie saying that she's deleting her account now. You've seen some news outlets depart the platform. Some people are just saying that they, you know, it's not a place for them anymore. So it is resulting in a lot of people sort of leaving the platform, I think.
Mm. Well, putting the Wakely attack and what's happened after that to one side, the eSafety Commissioner last month also issued notices against both X and Meta and Telegram to take down videos of terror attacks. How effective do you think the regulator is at stopping the amplification of violent messaging day to day?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think that it's a little bit the tip of the iceberg. We're seeing with Meta and X, this is all the public-facing stuff. This is the stuff that we can see that's posted on Facebook and Instagram and X that the public can see. But so much of it now is happening within private groups, group chats, encrypted communications, things like that. We've seen the spy chiefs warn that this is a growing concern, particularly when it comes to terrorism. You've seen the head of ASIO call on the tech companies to work with them and comply with the law and basically make encrypted communications a bit more accountable.
An industry is stepping up to help better protect the personal data they hold from being compromised by cyber criminals and nation states. We need them to step up again and help us protect Australia and Australians from threats to security. That requires making sure they can offer encryption to their users while providing effective and accountable law enforcement access capabilities.
Also, even though they're not really calling for any new powers, they're just basically saying, we've got these powers, we want to make sure that they're being used and we're actually able to see what's going on to a degree. But what we've seen some of the platforms do, Meta in particular with WhatsApp, which is where a lot of the violent videos were being shared, they now have sort of no sight of what's being said in these chats, but they can see what is being spread very quickly between groups. And they can get an idea of, oh, this is moving really quickly. This is being shared lots and lots and lots. That's possibly misinformation. That's possibly something we should put a handbrake on. And they do put things in like limiting the number of groups you can forward on a message that's been forwarded a lot of times, things like that. That does limit the spread without sort of compromising user safety. And they sort of detect accounts that are doing lots of this sort of spamming activity and ban them. I think they said they banned something like 8 million accounts a month for this sort of activity. So it is quite prevalent. But it's one of those things that is made a little bit harder by the fact that they can't see what's being spread beyond people sort of being in the groups and sharing what's in there and stuff like that.
I mean, we've been talking mostly about the spread of violent material online, but there was also a lot of misinformation spread on social media platforms last week after both the Wakely and Bondi stabbings. What powers does the eSafety Commissioner have to tackle misinformation?
Absolutely none. This is something that people have been very confused about in the past week, because it is understandable that when you're thinking about content online, you might think that one government position has powers over everything that is said on and done online, but her powers entirely relate to bullying, terrorism activity, all sort of like classification material and things like that. What we're seeing now at the moment is that the federal government is looking to effectively make a mandatory code that it puts on platforms about how they need to tackle misinformation, disinformation on their platforms. There's a voluntary code in place. Annex was a party to it, but I don't think they are anymore.
And the Albanese government has talked about bringing in a new law to strengthen protections against misinformation and disinformation online. Where is that up to?
The draft legislation for that came out last year, and a lot of civil liberties groups and the coalition and a lot of other groups said it would impinge on free speech, would make religious speech harmed and things like that. So the government decided to just redraft the bill, and they're planning to bring it in later this year. The coalition is still indicating it has its reservations about it. Some backbenchers have indicated that they are not happy that this is coming back. And I think it's important to note, like, it's not basically making the Australian Communications and Media Authority the arbiter of truth or anything like that, or pointing to individual posts and take that down. It's just basically saying, these are your rules, please abide by them and things like that. So
yeah.
I think there's been a lot of misinformation about the misinformation bill as well, but we've still haven't seen the draft, so we don't really know what changes might be made and whether they're going to adjust anything that's in it as a result of what we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Mm. Well, given all the barriers that we've discussed, do you have hope that we can get on top of this spread of violent material and both misinformation online, or do you think we're just going to have to live with a level of this as we live our lives online?
I think that, yeah, there's no way to stop it. I think that's just the messy nature of humans. And I think it has been interesting to watch X since Elon Musk took it over, in that there was a position among the platforms that they agreed with government that stuff needed to be done and something needed to be done to take care of this sort of thing. But X is now sort of standing out from that. So I think what you will see now is probably regulators around the world, governments around the world, looking at doing more of this sort of stuff, misinformation. I think particularly child safety is a major thing that a lot of them are looking at. So the impacts of apps like Instagram and things like that on children. That's where I think there is a growing consensus among the public that something needs to be done. Whether something needs to be done about misinformation and the spread of violent videos, there seems to be a bit of a less consensus on that. So it's really hard to predict at the moment where it's going to end up.
That was Josh Taylor. He's a reporter for Guardian Australia. You can find more of his coverage of X at theguardian.com, including the latest news on its legal battle with the online safety regulator. We'll link to that on the Full Story page. This episode was produced by Alison Chan and Karishma Luthria, sound design and mixing by James Milsom. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. And if you enjoyed today's episode, tomorrow on the newsroom edition of Full Story, editor-in-chief Lenore Taylor and head of newsroom Mike Tisha are diving even deeper into this issue. They'll be talking about how to regulate online platforms more broadly as governments in Australia and around the world tackle social media giants. Okay, that's it for today. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also leave us a review. I'm Jane Lee. Catch you next time.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.